Clean contact.
I'd hit it again because that shot was a defining moment. And when a defining moment comes along, you define the moment, or the moment defines you.
Here it comes. Oh my goodness.
Hello and welcome to the Golf Practice Podcast. My name is Andy Hayes, and with me for the first time in a long time is Chris Olerking. Chris, how are you doing?
Good. Good to be back.
It's been many months. We were just talking about the last time you made an appearance. You're a tough man to get a hold of, coaching junior elite golfers and having a baby, traveling to Mexico and Canada. So it's nice to have you back with us.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been a whirlwind the last couple of months, but getting back in the saddles and getting kids and students ready for the season. So excited to be back full time here.
Great. And we're here celebrating Masters Week. That's the first of two podcasts coming out this week. You have attended the Masters as a spectator or patron, right?
That's what they say, patron, yeah.
Okay, you've been a patron multiple times, three times, and you're going again this weekend. And so we thought we'd like to hear a little bit about what that's like, who you go with, what you do, like what's the strategy, what you do inside the ropes, what it's like, all of it. So where do you want to start?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, getting down there, right, I mean, is the big thing. I think anyone who has a passion for golf, Masters is sort of a bucket list thing to do. And so just scoring tickets to the Masters is tough. One of the perks of being a PGA member is that you get a complimentary ticket, one per day. But still you need people to go with. You're not going by yourself. And so I went 2013, 14, and 16. And I go with a group of guys, a friend of mine who is a student, who's become a good friend. We get to vacation together and play golf together and travel. You know, he brings a bunch of his friends down. So travel with those guys. Golf is always a part of it. It's a big ordeal. There's a lot of organizing. You don't just sort of show up to the Masters and watch. I mean, you'll get trampled if that's the case. So you have to be very organized, and there's some strategy, and that's, I think, some of the fun part about doing it.
Yeah, so how big of a group of the guys do you go with?
The first couple years, it was 6 to 8 guys that would go down. My friend would fly us down there, which is a pretty cool experience, showing up at the hangar at 8 o'clock and being in the air at 8:10.
You got a private jet.
Yeah. Yeah,
I got some good friends.
Yeah, I know. And these are all, you know, older guys who have done really well for themselves, who love golf. So I'm kind of the person who knows the history of the Masters and who knows the course better than anyone. And so I'm kind of the guide, okay, per se. So
very cool. So the first year you went, you said 2013.
Yeah, 13. That's Adam Scott won that in the playoff. We went Thursday and Friday to the tournament.
What was it like being there for the first time? Like, how hyped were you? how do you get to? I assume you stay in a hotel or rent a house or something. How do you actually get into the grounds and go from there?
Yeah, I mean, they only have two entrances, and it's so crazy around there, like you might think. And the outside of the grounds is kind of, it's like driving down Dempster, you know, west of the expressway. It's just like there's all these stores, and you're kind of like, am I in Augusta? I mean, this is like, you think of the golf course is like so pristine and quiet and birds chirping. And then when you're out on the street, it's a different deal. But yeah, we have a driver that takes us all the way up to the front, drops us off, which is nice. And when you check in, it's sort of unique. It's kind of like you're getting on a flight. I mean, there's a lot of security. Obviously, there's no phones, which is one of the unique things about going to the tournament. Not having your phone for an entire day, it was kind of strange for all of us. But I remember walking down the path and the new driving range at the time coming into view, and it was like a painting. It was just like all the edges and curves are perfect, all the railings are like freshly painted. There's nothing that's out of place. All the flowers are in bloom. So you kind of get chills, and then you get to the golf course, and you're like, you can't believe it's like a ski slope. I mean, there's all these. I remember like number one, you know, I never realized watching number one, the tee shot, that there's after the tee box, there's this huge like drop, and there's actually a crosswalk down at the bottom of it. But when you're watching TV, the guys are just hitting right over everyone's heads. And so I bet you if you dropped a ball at the top of the fairway, you know, it would roll for like 2 minutes before it got down to, to the bottom. Yeah.
That stuff doesn't come across on TV at all. You know, the elevation and the shots that they're hitting and the way it goes. So it must, I mean, I would imagine it's one of like, the experience is so much more enhanced actually being there.
You know, I mean, like, if you think about it, I mean, I've been watching the Masters, let's say, since I was 10 years old, and I got there when I was, you know, 33 or 34 or something like that. And so you know the course well from TV. Like, I never realized that one green, two tee, eight green, and nine tee are literally all right beside each other. And you could, from the grandstand on behind number one green, you could like watch all of this action. And I think that's what was so cool about the design, that these guys were thinking about tournament golf when they designed it. So they have these places where you can, you know, perch yourself and look at all these different views, not just one shot. And then you've got to wait 8 minutes before another shot, that you're seeing some different that's action.
Awesome. Yeah. Cause I was just at Bay Hill, which I talked about on this podcast, and it was like, hit, see a shot, wait 8 minutes. It's like so boring.
Yeah.
So it's pretty cool that you can see multiple holes and different things going around.
Yeah.
Where was your first, did you have a place that you wanted to go right away when you got there?
Great question. So I ran and then was told to stop running very quickly. I was running to 18.
How many minutes were you on the property before you got yelled at for the first time?
Good question.
They're pretty strict there.
Yeah, I mean, and they were like they're very polite about it, but there's certainly very unique rules there, right? I remember a young lady who was like in a sundress, just like, you know, laying in the sun, like under one of the trees or something like that, beside one of the trees, and somebody in a green coat said, "Excuse me, ma'am," you know, and told her that she could not sit down. And then obviously,
like on the grass.
Yeah, on the grass. Yeah,
not because like she was a woman or
no. Okay. No. And then me trying to run to 18 to put our chairs out, right? So obviously that's one of the unique things about Augusta, is that they sell one chair, and it's, you know, every year that chair is sold same dimensions, and so once you have your chair, you kind of have it for life. But you can put your chair down and nobody will, no one will move it or sit in it. So part of the planning is getting to your spot as early as you can in the morning to put your chair down. And so I was hustling across the course to get to 18 to put it down, so we could sit there in the afternoon.
And did you know where to go?
I just knew, because I knew where it was in relation to the clubhouse. And so, like, the clubhouse is, like, at the top of the hill, and everything sort of moves down from there. And so, unfortunately, we entered on, you know, the 1 year on the other side of the course, so I had to walk across the entire course. But it was cool because you get to see, you know, the back nine early in the morning. They're still doing the maintenance. And so the guys are out there, and I just remember... I remember like the grass clippings from the fairway, there's no grass clippings. I mean, so they had all these people have these gigantic like wire rods that were like flexible, that like reached out like 12 feet, and we're going back and forth. So the do
whip.
Yeah, the do whip. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, yeah, so it's a thing.
It's got a name. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice. Impressive, Andy.
Mm-hmm. I used to work outside on the golf course.
Yeah. So it's just cool to see that stuff and just like people like edging the bunkers and it, you know. But yeah, I was running to 18 and it was a Thursday, and so I know the pin is always back left on Thursday. So I put a couple chairs down in the front row, just long left of that whole location. And so what's cool is there's a lot of guys who are really going for that top plateau. If they go through the green, it rolls right up to your feet. And so you're sitting there, and you're, like, looking in the eyes of, like, Ernie Els as he's, like, looking at the ground and he's looking at the pin, and you're, like, you're sort of imagining everything he's thinking about, all of his options. He's thinking, I could putt it, I could three-wood chip, you know, putt it, I could blade this thing, I could flop it, you know. And so it's a good spot because you actually get a lot of guys who go through the green, and you're right there. And so the interaction exchange between the caddy and the players is just, like, phenomenal. So that was a spot.
How many different shots did you see hit from by
all of them?
You?
Yeah, those guys were utilizing, because it's kind of a tricky, there's not a lot of green to play with back there. And so the fringe kind of goes up and then the green starts and then it goes down a little bit. And so like if you're going to chip it on the green, you're chipping to a little bit of a down slope. So you got to put a little air under the chip, but it's not a very long chip. And then, you know, if you try to roll it through the fringe, now you have to negotiate, you know, 6 to 8 feet of fringe that you're rolling the ball through to this plateau, and then it starts going downhill. So not too many guys got up and down from back there, which I was surprised, but
did you see any
hard.
Terrible shots that you remember?
You know what, I just remember watching where guys were coming in on 18 from, and a lot of guys were not coming in from the fairway. I think that, you know, that tee shot on 18 is so intimidating. A lot of guys just blow it right and left there. You got to hit a pretty good one to get the ball in the fairway. So I just remember, like, balls coming from different directions, and you're like, couldn't quite make out where the player was, but it was just hard to believe.
So did you stay at 18 after you put your chair down, or did you go somewhere else?
Yeah, we walked the course.
Okay.
And so when I got there in the morning, it was maybe 7:30 in the morning. I think the gates open at 7, and there's nothing around 18. I mean, every time you see 18 on TV, you see all these people, mm-hmm. and so when you see it with nobody there, it's kind of like a little anticlimactic because there's like nothing going on. And so it was kind of cool to walk the course and then come back in the afternoon around 1 o'clock, and then there's thousands of people around this green, and then there's four chairs that are open in the front row, and you're just like, oh, excuse me.
Yeah, chairs up here. Okay. Oh, pretty cool. What, any, so how, what are some things that you remember, like that you're looking forward to going back, that from the previous years, like you maybe learned something or you saw something, or you're just looking forward to seeing again?
Yeah, I think through 3 years, I got to see, you know, most of it. I mean, there's spots on the course that you would certainly like, oh, I should camp out here longer. Like, I think number 6, the par 3, that's a really cool hole. It's right behind 16. It's downhill. The green is very undulated. Seems like a great place. But you always think about, like, the iconic places to sit. Yeah. You know, like, we sat across the water on 16 for an afternoon and saw shots come in on 15 on the par 5 and tee shots and playing out 16. So I'll get with the guys and we'll discuss what we want our plan to be. But I think number 12, trying to get in the front row behind 12 tee boxes is a spot. You know, that's a great place. I think that's actually the plan for Saturday. We're going Saturday and Sunday this year.
Wow.
So
have you practiced your walk, like how fast you can walk without running? Do you know, is there a cutoff?
We should time it. You know, it's like, you know, the speed walkers in the Olympics, you know, you can't have, you know, 2 feet off the ground. There always has to be a foot down. We should do that today. See how fast my giddy up is.
I mean, you start training. Yeah, we got a few days. so this is the first time you're there for the weekend?
I went In 2016, when Danny Willett won, we went Friday and Saturday. So this will be my first time on a Sunday.
Have you been there when Tiger has done anything interesting?
Yeah, I think I forget what years Tiger wasn't in it, but Tiger's always, you know, he's always there, right? I mean, he's always in it. He's never way back, and so even if he started the day, you know, six or seven back, he puts on a charge, and it's like it's still exciting. I mean, Tiger's roars are different than the rest of the guys' roars.
Yeah, have you been to the other majors? Have you been to PGA Championship?
Yeah, at Medina and Whistling Straits.
Have you been to U.S. Open?
Yeah, Oakland Hills and Olympia Fields.
Okay, what sets the Masters apart from actually being there? What are the differences? Some more differences. I like that they have lots of rules and just strange men in green coats can come and kick you out if they don't like something that you're doing. Anything else that's like really makes this tournament unique to be at?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of differences. One of them is just the fact that it's at the same venue every year. The traditions to me around the Augusta and the Masters are like unparalleled. I love the fact that, you know, the importance of amateurs in the Masters, the fact that you've got, you know, the winner of the Asian Pacific Amateur is in there. And we were seeing like that young kid who was 14 who played a couple years ago. How in the practice rounds that, you know, the young people are playing with the elder people, right? That Ben Crenshaw is taking Jordan Spieth around and telling him about how to play the course, how the amateurs stay in the crow's nest in the clubhouse, you know, and the stories are no one ever sleeps the night before. I mean, like Wednesday night, no amateur actually gets sleep because they're playing in the Masters, and everyone who's big has slept in the same, you know, dormitory up there. So I think those traditions are really unique. The par three course, you know, the par three tournament, mm-hmm. you know, the fact that you get the kids in the caddy bibs out there and the girlfriends and wives out there. It just seems like a great family thing. It's like the introduction of spring to the country. I think that's like, it's like officially golf season. And then just some of the unique things like all the merchandising and food areas and bathrooms are all permanent buildings. So I remember going into the bathroom for the first time, and it looked like this house out of Old Town that could have been like $1 million, you know? It was like...
The bathroom?
Yeah, like beautiful windows, like beautiful like siding, and you're like, I'm going in the washroom right now? you would go to like different tournaments, like... Whistling Straits, you've got like, you know, porta potties, you know? So this is, it's just, no one matches it.
That's awesome. What's your favorite food from there?
So drink I was collected, the sweet tea is like amazing, you know, and you get one of the plastic cups. So like I always come back with like 25 Masters cups, that my fiance can't stand because they're everywhere throughout the house. I'm not a big egg salad and pimento cheese person. That's what they're known for. Mm-hmm. I do the barbecue sandwich. That's pretty good. And of course the prices there are like
it's like $1.
Ridiculous. 50. Yeah. Yeah, the pimento is $1.50 sandwich and so it's, you know, it's nice that it's hard to get to the Masters, but once you're there, they like take care of you. And that's kind of a cool feeling. I remember Whistling Straits, you know, getting like a water was like $6.50, know, and so it's kind of like you're spending so much money there, but it's nice that they just like, hey, you know, it was hard to get here. We appreciate you coming. Yeah. And so we're going to hook you up.
Yeah. That's really cool. Cause you don't like cheese on your sandwiches normally. Cause we were just talking about Jimmy John's put cheese and you were pretty upset.
The last two times.
Yeah. So you switched to Potbelly. But will you try a sandwich? Will you eat a pimento sandwich or not? Or you've been
you
done
know
that?
What? We had a Masters party at the Cube last year, and Ty, who's from Georgia, him and his wife made pimento cheese sandwiches, nice. And I tried it. I tried it that time for the first time, and they actually was pretty good.
Okay.
I just don't think they look all that appealing.
Wait, you tried it? You didn't even try it?
I didn't even try it. That's how. That's pretty bad, I know.
Yeah. That's the one thing everyone talks about. Okay, maybe will you try it and give us a review for the podcast?
I'll try it.
I'll give it for the people.
Scale 1 out of 10. I bet you it's a 3.
Okay. Wow. So I've heard people, like, they have a chicken sandwich, too. They buy a chicken sandwich and a pimento sandwich and, like, combine them.
I might do that.
Maybe like that. So okay, I'd like a review. Can we have a food? Can we schedule a food review, you know, when you get back?
My pleasure.
These are the kind of things people want to hear about.
Yes.
Okay. The food we covered. Shops. How long did you wait before going in, like, the merchandise shop?
Yeah, you kind of want to do that, like, right away. I was afraid that, like, all the stuff would be picked over, and so I wanted to go early. So we went in there early. Another thing that's great there is they manage lines like no other. I mean, you're never really, like, sitting in a massive line for multiple minutes. It's always moving. And they have their spring break Masters Week for the kids, so all the kids from the high schools and colleges are working.
Okay.
That's why they have all this staff. And so there's, like, 50 lines that you can check out at, so you're never really waiting.
Have you been there since they made the new building for, like, the merchandise? Do you know what that is?
No.
I think it was, like, last year or something.
Yeah,
right?
I don't think I have.
Wow. Yeah. Something
I'll give you a review on that too.
Please, thank you. I mean, this is great, but I'm looking forward to the one next week just as much. Let's see. What's it like having no phone for a day? Do you enjoy that?
Yes, but it's interesting how, like, you know, your mind and body is trained to have a phone, because I, like, multiple times I feel my legs, like, buzz. And I check my pocket, and there's no phone there.
Yeah.
And so, like, it's like my body is used to the vibration of my phone. Obviously, it's really nice to be able to just not have that distraction. It's like you're on this hallowed ground. It's sacred. You're with your buddies. So I like the rule. It is a little awkward. And then one of my friends, we get in the van, and everyone gets their phone given back to them, and then there's silence for a half an hour because everyone is checking their texts and emails and trying to update social media. Yeah. I like the break.
Yeah, and now when you watch the tournaments on TV, all, like, everyone has their phone, or if you go to them in person, everyone surround, you know, every shot of a player, everyone has their phone taking videos, and on one sense, like, cool, you see Tiger Woods right in front of you and take a picture, but also it's like everyone has it all the time, and
yeah,
no one's actually seen the thing, so it's probably pretty cool. Like, that's the one place where people are actually experiencing something, like, face-to-face.
Right, the way people have always done it, right? I hope they don't change that. I don't think they will. You know, I think they've got a really good system there, and I think people have the respect for the tournament that they're just not going to push it, you know? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, one of my guys did try. He was really, like, he couldn't believe that that was a rule. And he's a guy who runs, like, a pretty big company. And so he's like, you know, F that. I'm taking my phone. And they caught him. Well, he didn't get it through the gate. I mean, they just, you know, you're going through metal detectors and stuff like that. So he didn't get it. But then he realized, like, you know, that he didn't really need to have it. You know, I mean, he got it. Mm-hmm. He understood.
Cool. I just heard Jordan Spieth was on the No Lane Up podcast, and he talks about how he loves Augusta so much because every shot is on, like, an uneven lie, and he's always hitting different shots to these crazy greens, and it, like, wakes up his brain or something. So what is it? Can you describe the course or some of these holes? Like, you mentioned hole one has, like, the big ski slope down. Are there other holes that you don't really see what they're like on TV, but being there in person gives it another dimension?
Yeah, I think the green complexes are just, like, they're so unique that they look very intimidating. And in the placement that you have, the room for error you have, is just on another scale. I mean, some of those greens, if you hit the right spot, you know, it'll funnel to the hole. And I think that's the alluring and you know, great thing of the Alistair McKenzie and the design is that there's great drama at the Masters. It's because these impossible shots can be pulled off. If you can control where your ball lands, you can sling it off a side of a hill and get to a pin that looked impossible. And so I think that's why Tiger likes it as well, because Tiger's creativity is like through the roof, right? And so he can, you know, I think he stops thinking golf swing when he goes there, and he's really thinking about hitting shots. And I remember sitting on 11 green, 12 tee for a whole afternoon. And that's like a really intimidating shot, 11 approach. That's a long par four.
The lake on the left.
Yeah. And I never, like, on TV, I'm like, what's so hard about this? I mean, it doesn't look like, okay, it's a water hazard, but like there's hazards on every golf course that these guys play. But the area to fit the ball in is really tight. And I remember the year Spieth won. It was Saturday, and he was going off, making a bunch of birdies on the front nine. We were looking at the scoreboard on the just left of 11 hazard, and we probably watched 15 groups go past, and one person had hit the green in 15. Everyone was missing to the right.
Yeah, like they bail out to the right.
They bail out to the right, mm-hmm. And Spieth hit it right at the flag, and it was like, it just showed me the control that he had that day was like no one else could go for it, you know, and he was in a zone that he could. He was hitting his spot. And so I think that's cool. He says it wakes up his brain, you know, because I think it just the imagination and the excitement of like what could be if this gets pulled off is different than like a golf course where there's just a pin and you just like stick it and it just stops there, you know. Right. I mean, the fact that you can make eagles on all these par fives and stuff like that, but you can also make bogeys. I mean, mm-hmm. that's what's great about Augusta.
I mean, so many courses, even in majors, like Torrey Pines, good example of like, it just looks like the most boring course ever. Every hole is straight and narrow, and it's whoever can hit it the farthest, and then whoever can hit it the closest to the pin. And it's the same exact shot for every single person. But Augusta, it's like everything's different. It seems like you play the hole different each day. You get weird spots and
yeah.
The pine straw by where Phil hit that shot over, can you like get up by that at all?
Yeah. Great question. So to get from the other side of the golf course, so to get from, you know, you walk past 15, you pass 14, and when you're trying to get to back to 12, you walk through that grove of trees there. And so actually you can get pretty close to that. I mean, there's a lot of spectators that are just right there peering through the trees. And so that hole is unbelievable. It's like a slingshot. I just think it, like, I would love to play there, to play that hole, because it just looks like it's so much fun that if you do not curve the ball right to left, the ball's going in the trees every single time. So you have to hit like a hook, you know, to sling it around the trees. And what that shot Phil hit, I mean, you know, because that approach shot to that green looks pretty daunting as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a picturesque view.
Yeah. Did you see him on Faraday, that show?
Yeah.
Where he's like, that shot was a percentage play because if you hit a pitching wedge, you get more pine needles in between the ball or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Phil's like, his mind, I like the way his mind works.
Yeah, he's an interesting guy.
Yeah.
I mean, it'd be great to have him on the podcast sometime if he's interested.
Yeah, I'll ask when I'm down there.
Yeah, see, you should bring out, we got some of these little, bring some posters.
And then I'll ask everybody what they think about the sandwiches, too.
Good.
You know?
Your friends. Or just people in general.
No, like the pros. Why not, you know?
Yeah, I think if you start, if people, like if members of Augusta find out that you've been there three times and haven't even tried the pimento sandwich, that sounds like a rule that you might break. Like, don't identify yourself when you're there. This podcast has a bigger reach than you think.
Yeah. You're right.
Yeah. Okay, I got one more question, then we'll get back to teaching golf. What's the best hole there and why?
Come on, Andy. That's really hard. That's really hard. The best hole? Like, six stands out.
So
nine
six.
Stands
talk more
out.
About six. I've never heard anyone talk about six.
Six a par three. You're
how long is it?
It doesn't seem very long. It might be like 170.
Okay.
The guys are way up in the air. The green's down low. It's one of those ones where there's a gallery sitting on the hill watching the shots come over their head.
Okay. So that big of a hill.
Yeah.
So, like, you think One club, two club elevation?
Yeah, maybe a club and a half.
Okay.
And the green is just like, it's got top right. I remember, you know, one year the pin's back right and it's just sitting on this ledge. And if you don't get on that ledge, it just falls down to the center of the green or even off maybe even the front. And guys are hitting, you know, guys who are in control. It's funny, like the guys who are really playing well are hitting the spot, you know. And I remember Spieth talking about, you know, the year that he won, that Augusta, you have to hit the ball within like 2 yards of your landing zone. And he said, this week I was hitting it within 1 yard.
Wait, on hole six or on every hole?
On every hole, you know. And so, but like six is beautiful. Nine is really cool. Dogleg left, downhill. Guys who can really hit a big right to left draw, get way down the hill, and then you're going uphill to the green. The green's like pitched on the side of a cliff, it looks like, and so like there's no putt that's safe on that green. Mm-hmm. 10, you know, that dogleg left down the hill again. It's like you could ski down that hill.
Was every hole left? Every hole is...
Most of them are right to left. Yeah, that's okay. Why Phil learned how to hit a cut.
Yeah, and Bubba does so good there. And
yeah. Right.
Interesting.
12, 13, I love 15. There's so much drama there. 16 is a great hole. 18 is a great hole.
I know they're all great. I'm trying to make you pick.
I'm sorry.
But 6, I really like 6. I don't hear anything about
it. Nobody talks
about it.
So we'll
take a look at 6 this weekend.
Yes, do it.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot for being here. I look forward to the pimento cheese review. I'm not sure if that'll be a whole episode, but maybe just a partial one.
Just drop in the next one.
Do you have a prediction?
I like how Ryan Moore's playing. I like that Rory and Tiger are playing good golf. I think they're going to be up there. Jordan, you can't count him out. Like, he's a superstar. Even if he's not playing good golf, you can't count him out. There always seems to be like 15 guys that you could win, and then there's a guy that you didn't think about who's up there. So we'll see.
Would Tiger make you the happiest?
Yes.
Would you be there 18? So Sunday, do you have your strategy Sunday?
Not yet. I got to talk with the boys, but I think we need to be on 18 on Sunday.
Front row?
Well, mm-hmm. If you can walk fast enough, you can pull that off.
Yeah.
You know, there's a handful of people who have, you know, who have people there who are doing this for them. So front row might be tough.
I've heard stories of people who like hide chairs under the...
Yeah. I think we're actually paying some people.
I mean, if you had a private jet, you better might as well just start bribing some grounds crew guys to...
Yeah.
The guy with the Dew Whip to put your chair out for you.
There you go. Yeah, Tiger would make me happy. A couple years ago, I didn't think he would ever win again. And now I'm like, I believe that he can because he's proven it. Mm-hmm. You know, so that would be great.
Yeah. Okay, I know I said I had the last question, but do you have, like, the Masters is famous for giving all their players, or all the players have Masters scripting, the clothes that the company tells them to wear each day. They have a good color combination. Do you know what you're going with Saturday and Sunday? If not, let's figure it out.
So, unfortunately, I got a six-month-year baby at home, so... I have not done any planning to what I'm wearing down there. But I did look at the weather. It's supposed to be rainy, but low 80s. That's tough.
Yeah.
You know, rain gear when it's hot. I don't have any cool stuff anymore. You know, all my stuff's dated.
So that's what I'm asking. Like, you're going to go with just a Johnny O golf practice branded polo? If so, what color? Because we got blue, we got light blue, we got purple, we got red.
I think I'm going to take the North Face golf practice rain jacket, black one. Because it's got some vents under the arms, you can, you know, cool yourself off a little bit, but throw that hood on if that rain comes down hard. I will have the Johnny O's shirts going for sure.
What color? What are your go-to?
My go-to is blue, but I've got like 7 Johnny O blue, different blues. But I also have like this nice pink coral. One that
pink coral
might look good.
Maybe
you got to go bright colors down Augusta.
And the pink sounds good because Sunday you have to have a shirt that matches the green jacket, just in case. That's what all the guys do. Do you know that they seriously do plan?
Yes.
That. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
So
in case I get a picture with it. Now, I got a picture with Sergio a couple years ago. Cool. He didn't let me take the jacket. I did ask.
Okay, well, we could probably be here all day, so we better end now. Thanks for being here. Well, have a great time this weekend.
Thank you.
Talk to you later.
Clean contact.
I'd hit it again because that shot was a defining moment. And when a defining moment comes along, you define the moment, or the moment defines you.
Well, here it comes. Oh, my goodness.